time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Yes, it's Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
Tell us what we're talking about this week.
I think everyone's aware that we're witnessing the end of the Hudson's Bay Company. Mm-hmm. And of course, it has had a long connection to Western Canada and Manitoba in particular. It's but the latest, and I think which is going to be a continuing list of companies, retail companies here in Manitoba, that have gone out of business. You know, for example, we've talked here before about Eaton's. We've talked about McLeod's. So the Bay is simply one more example where it just isn't popular to buy things in person anymore. But I think because of its long tenure here, after the Hudson's Bay Company is gone, there will be many surviving reminders of its activities. And so that's what we're discussing this week, remnants of the Hudson's Bay Company in Manitoba.
Interesting, remnants. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about shards. Mm-hmm. Now remnants, okay. Well, in case any of our listeners are unaware of the HBC's long history, let's do a quick recap of the last 300 and something years.
355 years. Well,
there you go.
It'll be a very short recap. The Hudson's Bay Company is believed to be, depending on one's definition, the oldest continuously operating company in North America. It's the second oldest in the entire world, and it was established in 1670 when King Charles II granted a business charter to a group of businessmen described as, quote, the Governor and Company of Adventurers of England trading into Hudson's Bay, close quote. Well, the company established posts all around Hudson Bay, and of course the idea was to trade European goods for animal furs provided by Indigenous people. One of those posts was York Factory at the mouth of the Hayes River, and of course that's now part of Manitoba. Eventually, the Hudson Bay Company created inland posts all over the north and west of Canada, but as the population of this region began to increase in the late 19th century, the HBC established department stores in major cities, and of course, these became retail centers, and it was basically the company's major business through much of the 20th century.
100 years ago, we built one here in Winnipeg, didn't we?
Indeed. The six-story building that opened just a little ways away from the studio here opened in 1926. It was basically the western bookend to the city's downtown retail core, with Eaton's at the other end, on the east end. The HBC store had 15 acres of retail space, selling everything from groceries to furniture. At the south end of this massive building was a parking lot, which in 1954 was replaced by a concrete structure that was the first parkade on the Canadian prairies. We know now it was closed. It closed in 2020, and the former store is now owned by the Southern Chiefs organization. They're overseeing a massive multi-million dollar renovation into community space. But it's just one of several surviving HBC buildings in downtown Winnipeg.
Right. There were at one time quite a few. What others are there?
Well, there's at least four surviving Bay buildings in the vicinity of the Forks, and they all had a connection at one time with the company. So, for example, on Main Street itself, there is a former wholesale building for the Bay. It was built in 1911, but you would be hard-pressed to know that because the exterior had a major facelift in the 1970s that made it basically unrecognizable as an old building. It looks like a new building, and it has additional significance that we'll come back to a little bit later. Nearby on Gary Street is the former HBC garage from 1911. It's now a steakhouse. A pair of inconspicuous buildings between Fort and Main Street, you would be hard-pressed to even know they were there. It's really, you have to kind of look. There's the HBC Powerhouse from 1906 and the HBC Mail Order Building from around 1916. Farther afield, though, and there are other buildings around the province, we have, for example, the former buildings north of Winnipeg, including the ones at Lower Fort Garry, which, of course, was a major trading facility of the Hudson's Bay Company. We have former stores at Seven Sisters and Flin Flon. We have a fur warehouse, a powder magazine, a jail, and a cemetery at Norway House. And of course, we can't forget the absolutely magnificent depot building that still stands at York Factory. It is indeed the oldest wooden building in Manitoba. And then finally, of course, there's Prince of Wales Fort at Churchill.
So there are other sites as well, right, for trade posts?
Yeah. I mean, they may not have actual buildings at them. They may not even have any remnants of anything near at them, but we still know where they are. So, for instance, there's the former site of Brandon House, the HBC's first inland post established in 1793. It's on the Assiniboine River downstream of present-day Brandon. There is a fieldstone monument marking the site of Fort Ellis near St. Lazare, and an old stationary steam engine that had been at one time used to power a sawmill. It stands at Elphinstone. Over on the west shore of Lake Manitoba, at Kinnesota near the Narrows, are the remains of Manitoba House, another early HBC inland trading post. It was established in, well, we're not entirely sure. It was either the late 1810s or the early 1820s. There are a few wooden buildings there, but they're not original. They are replicas that were built there in the early 1970s.
And once you get through all the buildings that were part of HBC at some time or another, we can talk about other merchandise that you can buy, blankets and such.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, you know, since 1779, a popular trade item were wool blankets. And these ones were marked with short black lines so that at a glance you could tell the size of the blanket.
Right.
They're called point blankets. And I suspect that many Canadian households are like mine in having several of these point blankets. You know, for years, the HBC sold blankets and other white-colored items that had bold green, red, yellow, and black stripes. And, well, frankly, I have at least one family member who is an avid collector of Bay merch. And of course, while there will be no new source for these items after the Hudson's Bay Company is gone, existing ones will endure because they are really high quality.
So we have buildings, sites, merchandise, anything else?
Well, of course, Winnipeg streets will also be a reminder of the Hudson's Bay Company here. In the downtown area where the Bay once had its main department store, where the powerhouse and the mail order building still stand, we have Fort and Garry streets. Of course, right. Fort Garry from its upper Fort Garry, a major trading post of the Bay. We also have nearby Donald and Smith streets, named for the early HBC fur trader, Donald Smith, Lord Strathcona. We also have Carleton, Edmonton, Ellis, Qu'Appelle, and York. Those are all named for former Bay posts. And it's arguable that the HBC as a business, although by that name it may die, it will live on with the Northwest Company. Of course, this is a company based here in Winnipeg, and it's in that former wholesale building on Main Street. You know, the one that you recognize as an old building?
Right.
That's the headquarters for the Northwest Company. And why is it connected? Well, because the original company, the Northwest Company, was a separate fur trading business until 1821 when it merged with the Hudson's Bay Company. But in 1987, the Bay spun off its northern stores under the reincorporated Northwest Company name. And in fact, that company operates all over the north in Canada, in Alaska, and it's been argued that the Northwest Company maintains the entrepreneurial spirit that the Bay lost when it abandoned its fur trading routes for urban retail. And there's one more remnant of the Bay that survives here in Winnipeg, not far from the studios here. And I think it may be the best of everything.
The paddle wheel? What is it?
It is, no, it's actually, I think, more valuable even than that. The Bay was always known for its detailed record keeping. You know, they kept records on all sorts of things relating to its business activities, going right back to its roots in 1670s. Now, originally, those records were preserved in the Bay headquarters in London, England. But in 1970, when the head office moved to Canada, several noted Canadians, including Winnipeg's Jim Richardson, advocated to move those precious records here. And I mean here in Manitoba, huh. Given the connection between the Bay and Manitoba. So in 1974, the Hudson's Bay Company archives, all the materials were loaned to the government of Manitoba, and a special temperature and humidity controlled vault was built inside the former Winnipeg Auditorium, just south of that Bay Parkade, to house this collection. Now, initially, it was just a loan. But in 1994, that collection was officially donated to the province, and in 2007, It was added to the UNESCO Memory of the World Register. You know, it's considered a world-class collection of records. You know, things like 5,000 linear feet of documents, over 12,000 maps and charts, over 140 motion pictures, over 500 sound recordings. It is quite literally the mother lode for anyone interested in the history of Northern and Western Canada, and is right here in Winnipeg. Well, in fact, the company headquarters in Toronto still retains a few of the old documents, including the original 1670 charter, but many of us think that they should be brought here to their rightful home in Manitoba to join the rest of the Hudson's Bay Company archives. So, all in all, I hope that anyone who worries that the legacy of the Hudson's Bay Company will be lost, they might be consoled by today's conversation. There is lots of Bay stuff left here, and there always will be.
Always connected here, historically, to Manitoba especially. And I can understand why you enjoy this so much. You are kind of a record keeper kind of guy, so that would be of total interest to you. Is that stuff accessible by the public?
Absolutely. In fact, just the other day, I took a tour group and we went and had a quick look at the vault. It's really impressive. You go into this room and the lights come on and you see this vast block of which is the sealed area, so that the documents inside, the humidity is controlled, the temperature is controlled, because a lot of those documents in there are hundreds of years old, right, and yet they're in remarkably good shape. You can open a book and see the fur trade records, you know, how many furs they traded in this particular day, going back centuries.
Good reason to go and spend some time in the Manitoba archives. Thanks for that, Gordon.
You're welcome.
Tell us what's up for next week. Actually, we'll be back in 2 weeks because next Sunday is Easter Sunday.
That's right. So 2 weeks from now, we will be talking about something that, well, we've talked about a little bit before. Last fall, we talked about heritage buildings in towns around Manitoba, and especially places that had a lot of them relative to their size. But I did say then that we would come back eventually to talk about some, well, fairly large places, three cities, in fact, with proportionately few old buildings. So we're going to do that next 2 weeks.
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now.
And one more thing before you go.
Indeed. Last summer, we did something called a Sunshine Highway Relic Run. We had a group of old automobiles that went from the U.S. border near Crystal City to Brandon. We called it the Sunshine Highway Relic Run because it was recreating a route that had existed from the 1920s. We had a heck of a good time, and we filmed the whole thing. We made a 15-minute video, and it's going to be premiering this afternoon in Crystal City at the Park Lane Theater. 2 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. No charge. Come and enjoy some fellowship. You'll learn a little bit about Manitoba history and especially how the roads used to be in the old days.
Park Lane Theater, Crystal City. See you there, Gordon. Thanks for coming out. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.